The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Super Bowl Sunday, Super Bowl 58, live from Circa. Special edition of a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland. They let us into the big house.
Let's go. We've been all around town the past few days.
So. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Ready to do this. You ready? 2.5 hours away from kickoff. Are you excited?
I'm pumped, man. Let's go. Let's get this game going.
Let's do this already.
I'm ready to watch it. I'm ready to have bets going. Maybe a little ready for it to be over. But yeah, I want to watch the game.
A little bit of that, too. Let's actually watch the football game. Niners now 1.5-point favorites as we do this. Again, 2.5 hours before kickoff. Did you expect it? By the way, the total remains 47.5, just non-budging. Did you expect this to go down back to 1.5?
No surprise really there, right? We've been talking about it the past couple weeks. We didn't really think we were going to see a pure three. We didn't really think we'd see a pure pick 'em. So what, 1.5 to 2, 2.5? Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense, right? We're probably seeing a lot of bettors come in today and betting the Chiefs, just like we always thought, you know, day of, you want to bet Patrick Mahomes on the money line. Makes a lot of sense. I get it. I did it.
Last Super Bowl with a spread this short was the Kansas City-San Francisco Super Bowl some 4 years ago, which Kansas City won, of course, 31-20. That was the Chiefs by 1.5 on that day. And the only Super Bowl spreads that were shorter than that, the Malcolm Butler pick-off interception game, picking Russell Wilson there at the goal line, famously, when New England beat Seattle 28-24. That was Super Bowl 49 back in February of 2015. And before that, you'd have to go all the way back. There's only two others that were shorter than 1.5 points. That one, the Malcolm Butler game, the first Niners-Bengals Super Bowl back in the early 80s when the Niners won that one, the first of their five Super Bowl titles when they were just one-point favorites against the Bengals all the way back in January of 1982. And then the only other one of a one-point spread, the perfect season of the Miami Dolphins. They were only one-point favorites against the Washington Redskins back in that was January of 1973. So in that respect, this is about as short of a line as we're ever likely to see in a Super Bowl. We've never had a pick 'em. We won't have one today. And that's where we are right now. Can I do my greatest hits? We're going to have Dr. Bob come on the show here momentarily. We haven't had a chance in all the 2 weeks of talking about Super Bowl 58. We have not had a chance to talk to the great Dr. Bob. So before he gets here, Kelly, my greatest hits from 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to vomit it out again one last time. But essentially what I've been sort of saying about this game, and take this for what it's worth, and let me just say that I am financially incentivized on the Niners here. I have one remaining exacta, the Niners to beat the Chiefs at 11-1. I have MVP plays on three different Niners, so I am all about the Niners here. But to make the case for both teams, I think you have to fall into one of the two sort of shrines that you worship, one of which is, just from a macro level, is the more recent one, which is, again, doing the old Jimmy the Greek T-chart of where do the check marks fall? And if it's coach, if it's quarterback, if it's defense, if it's kicker, if it's schedule, strength of schedule and who these teams have beaten, the Chiefs get all of those check marks. The only one that the Niners get is offense. It is a big check mark, mind you, and it's why those of us who have the Niners are bullish on this today. But it is nonetheless just one check mark. I think that's one, you know, sort of shrine you worship at. The other one is the more analytics sports betting one, which is to say that, Kelly, if we go back just as recently as Christmas night, the day that the Chiefs got crushed by the Raiders, and we all, if you had whispered in our ear that day while we were watching the Chiefs, were like, that team's still going to the Super Bowl. We've been like, get out of here. And later that night, Brock Purdy laid his egg against the Baltimore Ravens. Even that night, the Niners would have been at minimum 5-point favorites on a neutral field against these Kansas City Chiefs. So the question becomes, just from, again, a sort of broader perspective, the helicopter view of this, which of those things resonates with you most? And for me, and this is just for me, I'm always going to come down on the side of the more analytics or the sports betting side of things, which is power ranked based and where this just was a little while ago. And I believe that the Niners defense shows up today in a way that we have not seen in the postseason, and that they revert to that much better version that we have been used to during this whole regular season.
Yeah, I mean, we're a little bit on opposite sides. I do think that I'm concerned, for more of what we've seen recently from the Niners and the defense and what's happened with that. And meanwhile, the Chiefs are playing flawlessly. Now, can they continue to play flawlessly? I think that is a great question. You've had Patrick Mahomes playing out of his mind, not turning the ball over, not even really throwing the ball into positions where it can be turned over. The defense has looked like the best defense in the NFL over the past couple weeks with what they've done. So it's exactly what you said. If you're betting the Niners, it's because of what you've seen all season from them, and you expect them to bounce back to what that midseason form looked like. And if you're betting the Chiefs, you're going off of really recent form in the playoffs, what they've looked like here, and what they have historically done in the playoffs with a great all-time quarterback, a great all-time coach, getting back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and it's Patrick Mahomes trying to win his third Super Bowl, still in his 20s. Will that continue, or will Kyle Shanahan's Niners finally get over the hump here and win themselves a Lombardi Trophy?
And we've said it all week. Like, we're on opposite sides. Would you be shocked, though, right? If either side won this game, not at all. That would be the thing, right? The Chiefs have been the hotter team if they win it. If the Niners win it, you're like, well, we could have seen this coming all year.
And that's kind of why, despite which side I'm on, I try to couch it as fairly as you can. Like, okay, well, these, you can make a case this way. We talked about, well, Will Hill was great at bringing this up. You know, the check mark that I talked about with schedule. It could be that the biggest thing, like, one of the things about this, whatever the result is, if you're on the wrong side in the end of this, you're going to feel stupid to some degree. Because if the Chiefs win, there's the whole, well, you bet against Patrick Mahomes, you idiot.
Right.
Right. There's that. And there's the fact that it could just be that the AFC is better than the NFC by margin, and that we just didn't acknowledge it. And while the Niners were struggling against the likes of the Packers and the Lions, the Chiefs were busy taking care of business of a gauntlet in the postseason against the Dolphins and against the Bills. Against the Ravens in the AFC Championship. So there's that. Conversely, I would think that if you lost on the Chiefs, you'd be like, oh, that's right. That's how good the Niners were. Of course, they had every offensive weapon in the game, and they ended up showing it on the field, if that's what in fact results. The other thing, though, by the way, in addition to the, oh, my God, I bet against Patrick Mahomes, part and parcel with that might be, oh, Brock Purdy laid an egg again on a big stage, right? Which would be the second time this year. Now, you can't blame him for the championship game last year against the Eagles because obviously he got hurt. But that's the other thing that sort of buzzes in the back of your mind about what could happen here.
Just experience, right? Like, that's not to knock Brock Purdy, but right. You're talking about, like, one of the most experienced quarterbacks ever at the age of 28 with Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
And Brock Purdy, okay, it's your second year in the league.
Like, the other thing, just, and again, in the spirit of sort of just vomiting out greatest hits, because Kelly and I have had, as everyone has, two solid weeks, as we typically do with Super Bowls. Sometimes they're 1 week, but usually it's 2 weeks prior to Super Bowls, to just sort of give every possible little angle we can think of. And the other one for me that I've said on numerous occasions is that in every sporting event, it's always advantageous to score first. I can't think of one where it's not. And certainly in bigger moments, I like to give the example of Game 7s of Stanley Cup postseason series. If it gets to a Game 7, you always sort of have the pregame analysis of, man, you want to put the biscuit in the basket first. You want to get that 1-0 lead. That just sets you up so much better than it would otherwise. Obviously, it matters in every game, but particularly in those big moments. I feel like this game, as it is advantageous to score first all the time, I feel like this one is bigger, where it's magnified. Because if the Niners fall behind again, and maybe I'm not talking one score, let's just say 10-0, right? Or a 10-point margin, wherever that is. But certainly close to the start, 10-0, 13-3, whatever it is, the Niners have just pulled off two improbable wins in the postseason against the Packers and the Lions, where you didn't think mid-game in either of those they could ultimately emerge victorious. Somehow they were able to do so. You try to do that against Patrick Mahomes, chances are that ain't happening. Conversely, I think you can say the same thing about the Chiefs, where, yes, certainly they have Patrick Mahomes, and you can make the case, well, but we have Mahomes, there's always a chance. Yeah, but if the Niners' offense is clicking and they've gone up two scores on you, even the great Patrick Mahomes does not want to be in the position with that offense, this year's offense. Because remember, this is the most diminished of all of his offenses that he's gotten here to the promised land with. even Patrick Mahomes is not going to want to be in the position to try to outmatch the Niners offense blow for blow moving forward or exceeding that blow for blow.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard him talk about that, right? Over the past month, it's accepting what this team is and the pieces he has around him, and it's not the same old Chiefs offense, and it's, hey, if I can get in front and lean on the defense, lean on a rushing game, and that's the best way for us to win, that's what they're going to do. So, yeah, I think that's – I think you're absolutely right. I think if we're talking double-digit lead at any point for one of these teams, it might be over.
Kelly and I are here till kickoff, right up to kickoff, and then we're going to break all kinds of laws speeding home, or at least I am, just alerting the popo. It's going to happen. Please don't stop me. I'm trying to get to the game. Not to the game itself, but just to watch it in peace.
Across the street.
We'll hear from not only Dr. Bob here momentarily, but also VSiN's own Femi Abebefe coming up with his thoughts on Super Bowl 58. JVT, Mike Somich will join us here, give his perspective on Super Bowl 58, all the bets that everybody's made. Kelly and I will go through all of ours thoroughly as well. And later this hour, I think it's this hour, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, for those that still have it up, and I don't know that you do, but if you do, we'll do it this hour so there's still time. I have the Usher answer key.
Uh-oh.
First song, last song, who's going to be on stage with him, some other little quirk to it. We got that. And I think we also know about Reba McEntire over under on the national anthem, which we may actually still be here for when it actually occurs.
Yeah, we might
occurs.
Be. Gatorade steam coming in too right now.
What's the Gatorade steam?
DraftKings had pulled this down for a while. We're back up. Purple minus 130, Gil.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
This is the
important. Who saw purple?
This is the important stuff. Not all this Super Bowl 58 stuff, but that kind of ancillary stuff. Dr. Bob joins us in moments. His thoughts on Super Bowl 58 as you take a look live at Circa here in downtown Las Vegas.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get access to everything on our brand new VSiN.com website. Plus, our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. Plus, our upcoming Super Bowl betting guide with best bets and favorite prop bets. Remember, though, to use promo code ANG.
That's ANG, as in a numbers game. The fine program you're listening to right now.
Get your first year. VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. I thought you were going to fake me out there and I was going to step on you.
Faked out the crew, though.
I know. Yes. Yes, we did. Ladies and gentlemen, 2 weeks of talking about Super Bowl 58 between the Chiefs and the Niners, and not once did we have this gentleman on the show. Whose fault is that?
I don't know. Mine. Definitely mine. I'm the producer of the show. It's my fault.
Way to take the hit for that.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Bob Stoll. He is not an actual physician, but you know him as Dr. Bob. He joins us now from just outside of Denver. How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. Not a physician because blood makes me squeamish.
Really? Was that the reason why you didn't become a doctor? Did your parents want you to become a doctor?
No, of course not. They.
Okay, sorry.
It's the only thing
they know what they wanted me to be. They just want to be a good person. That's all.
Okay. And a good person you've become. We talked about this a little bit off air, but I just want, for people who don't realize what an absolute sacrifice this is for Bob, you are the host of a Super Bowl party every year. You did it in San Francisco every year. I was fortunate enough to go to multiple of them. You're doing it now where you live now. You are Mr. Margarita. That is your station that you work on today.
Yeah, that's generally every year. I make key lime margaritas, and key limes are little tiny suckers, and I have to slice about 400 and squeeze those guys, and to get enough margaritas to satisfy the crowd. And back in the San Francisco days, I was the one Super Bowl party in the entire city that had more women than men, and women loved margaritas. So. Yes. That became a key selling point to get all those lovely ladies there, one of which you know very well.
Yes, that is true. Might have met her there.
Now, Bob, we're going on the rocks or frozen? We're going on the rocks or frozen for the Bargs?
The key lime ones are rocks. rock salt. I do make some frozen ones. I make those from scratch as well, and I have a good mix for that. So if I'm in a pinch, I'll do some regular limes and do some frozen ones.
All right. Did you just refer to margaritas as margs?
Yeah, margs. Yeah,
margs.
The frozen ones are margs. For the kids. Okay. You got to go serve them over the rocks.
All right, Bob. Listen, I don't want to interrupt you any longer than I have to, but Super Bowl 58. I don't know if you know this. There's a football game in just over 2 hours. What was your analysis on this? With currently the Niners 1.5-point favorites, and the total remains steadfast. 2 weeks later, still at 47.5.
Yeah. I'll start by just, kind of going over San Francisco's offense and Kansas City's defense and what I think might happen here. Kansas City's defense coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, he's been content to let teams run the ball. And his thing is like, sort of like a Belichick back in the day, like bend but don't break. Let's not give up any big plays in the pass game. Run the ball. That's fine. We'll accept that. They're the only team in the league, the only defense in the league that had a higher success rate allowed on run plays than it did on pass plays. The only team in the league that was worse in success rates defending the run than the pass. And that works for a lot of coaches. Like, a lot of modern coaches love to throw the ball and they just will keep throwing it even though Kansas City wants you to. Shanahan's not like that. If you're going to give him the run and have six or seven defensive backs in the game, he'll run the ball. 4 years ago, I don't know if you remember this game, in the NFC Championship game against the Packers had the same sort of defensive philosophy, and they were not very good at stopping the run either. The 49ers ran the ball 42 times and passed it only 8.
Wow.
In that game. Well, 9. Garoppolo got sacked once. But 9 pass plays, 42 run plays. The last time in a playoff game when they faced a team that kind of runs the same kind of thing, we'll let you run. Shanahan will say, fine, we will run it. And that game was before they had Christian McCaffrey. And now they've got someone, who he can really trust running the ball. And I think it's a good matchup for the run game. When the Chiefs are using the lighter personnel, which they'll do a lot, the 49ers will be under center a lot. They'll have the fullback in. And McCaffrey leads the NFL with 5.6 yards per carry when the quarterback is under center. The other thing is that the 49ers, 75% of the runs are in the zone blocking scheme, which has been a Shanahan staple back to his father back in the day when his father coached at the Broncos. That zone rushing scheme has been a staple of all the Shanahans. And when they run it 75% of the time, they're running that zone blocking scheme. Now the Chiefs are in the middle of the pack against the run league-wide. 40% rush success rate allowed is in the middle of the pack, 15th. But in success rate allowed against zone running, zone blocking schemes, they have 52% success allowed, which is 29th in the league. So what the 49ers do best is that zone blocking scheme, and that's what the Chiefs have had trouble stopping. So I think Shanahan will be happy to run the ball. And, another thing that makes that likely is the fact that the Niners have their worst pass blocking rating in any of the Shanahan years. This is, aside from Williams, this has not been a good line for protecting the quarterback in Kansas City. If they're looking for the pass, they have an advantage on the pass rush. So that's another reason for 49ers to run the ball a lot. The other thing I think they're going to do a lot is throw a lot of screen passes. This is going to involve McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel, of course. The Chiefs are very good, best in the league defending wide receivers and tight ends, but they're vulnerable to screen passes. And Purdy's really good at setting up those screens. I mean, some of the screen passes they call are fantastic. Obviously, Deebo Samuel is a big part of that. And Purdy's 0.31 EPA per play on screen passes. He's 0.31 EPA per play better than his average when he's throwing screen passes. And the Chiefs tend to give up a lot of screens because they don't want to give up any big plays down the field. So they're happy to let you run screen passes and let you run the ball. So I think the best play here is McCaffrey. I certainly like him over 35.5 receiving yards. And the other prop I like is over 100. The total yards from scrimmage varies, but I'd say anything at 131 total yards from scrimmage or less, McCaffrey over on that as well. So that's how I kind of see the Niners offense doing things. If you have time, I can go over the other side of the ball.
Please, go ahead. Absolutely.
Kansas City's offense against the Niners defense. Now, this is a little bit of an unknown. I have a pretty clear picture of what the Niners are going to do. But the last time, and most teams in the last couple of years since Hill's been gone, Kansas City doesn't have that deep threat anymore. They tend to, Kansas City's been throwing a lot of quick passes, a lot of screen passes, a lot of short passes. And most teams play two high safeties against Kansas City. over the last few years. But the Niners did something different. They had more players near the line of scrimmage when they played them last year in week 7. And Mahomes said, fine, I'll still throw the ball down the field. And he threw a lot of passes, 10 yards or more down the field than any other game last season was against the Niners. And they scored 44 points. Mahomes had 423 passing yards in that game. So I'm guessing that the 49ers will do something different this time around. I'm not sure what that's going to be. The safeties are a little bit of a weakness, so Mahomes still might throw the ball down the field, but they're certainly going to run those screen passes. Mahomes led the league in screen pass rate at nearly 15%, and the 49ers are earning 46% success rates versus the screen, which is 27th in the league. So what the Chiefs like to do is run those screen passes, and the 49ers don't stop that very well. The other matchup I think really favors Kansas City is Rashee Rice in the slot. He's averaged 2.4 yards per route run, which is 10th in the league from the slot, and he gets most of his targets in the slot. And he's going up against nickelback Lenore. Yeah, you got to let it roll off your tongue. And Lenore's allowing 1.21 yards per cover snap in the slot, which is the 6th worst in the league. So the Niners are weak there. Rice should have a decent game, so I'm going to look on some of his props. And oddly, the Niners have been giving up so many rushing yards. I think a lot of teams are these edge rushes the Niners have are really good, and they're getting upfield, and teams are running kind of beneath them. They're going to allow them to get upfield and kind of run underneath them, and it's been really working. So I don't know if the Niners are going to really set those guys loose. I think they might hesitate in their pass rush because I think the Kansas City might try to do the same thing. So it's really interesting on that side of the ball. I'm not quite sure how it's all going to play out, except for the Chiefs will throw screen passes and Rice should have a good game. And wrapping everything up, overall, we use this season only, the advanced metrics would favor the Niners by 3.3 points. But priors are, preseason ratings, the priors, are a bigger part of the postseason than they are late in the regular season. And Kansas City's prior was higher than San Francisco's in our ratings this year. And so overall now I get the Niners by 1.8 when you include the priors, and a total of 49.4. So I'd lean a little bit over there, but not enough to bet it. Trends, if you're interested, the trends, oh, we got to go.
Got to run.
Music off. Everybody knows Patrick Mahomes is good as a dog, so I guess if I had to pick it, I'd probably have Kansas City, but I don't have to pick it, so I'm going to play the prop.
Okay. Bob Thurow, as always, we appreciate it. Get back to the margaritas, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Bye.
Dr. Bob, everybody, at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com. Reba, Usher, and more. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's still time for VSiN's Super Bowl betting guide to help you bet on the big game. Still time, but it's dwindling. This year's guide features in-depth team breakdowns, Steve Mackinnon's Super Bowl simulation with player projections, plus favorite prop bets, picks, and best bets from VSiN hosted guests. To get the guide and all that VSiN has to offer, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/pro. What type of person do you think waits till now and then grabs the Super Bowl betting guide?
You know what, Gil? I'm going to tell you, whatever person that was looking for the Kelly Bidlin special, we got $9.99.
Yeah.
How about this? You pay the $9.99 and then send me confirmation of it. I'm going to Venmo you $1. So we're knocking that price down to $8.99.
$1?
$1. Yeah.
That's pretty good. We get tweets.
The next hour, it might be $2.
We still get Super Bowl tweets. We're allowed to read those, right? Super Bowl tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Las Vegas 514. Yo, you getting overtime or time and a half for working on a Super Bowl Sunday? If not, you should. Enjoy the game, fellas. It's not how it works. Nah. Not how it works. Jason H11, let me guess, the sushi place is the only spot in Vegas that isn't jam-packed right now. Well, it could be.
Probably. Do they have TVs?
No.
Oh, there's a
hint.
Man.
I just gave a hint.
Yeah, that is a hint.
Over the levee. Calling my shot. 24-20 Niners. Good luck, and thanks for all you and producer number 9 do. Thank you very much for all that you do. Always chiming in on the show. Let's see. Chris Heath, every Circa prop packet I open has use check props circled in pen. Read into that.
I believe I've heard it. It is the most popular props at Circa because not everybody's posted use check
right.
props. So
that's correct.
Pro-
props to Circa for posting them. Just period. But I have heard they have been very, very, very popular.
And Henry's boy, too. Gil Kelly shouting excitedly the prop on Gatorade. Purple's minus 130 now, Gil. Will be my favorite radio spot of 20.
It's getting steamed.
And holy Buckeye, Kirk Sports, says, seems like yesterday was your first Super Bowl at VSiN. Nice run, buddy. Can I just use that as a moment to segue to the great Brent Musburger for a second? I know this doesn't have anything specifically to do with the game today, but our first Super Bowl was the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl, famously known for a score midway through the game, more than it was the final score. Obviously, 28-3, the Falcons led the Patriots that day.
Ugh.
Sorry about that.
Lost so much money.
It was February 5th, 2017. That was our first broadcast at VSiN, and Brent was running the show. Matt Eumanns was on. I was on, among others. And obviously, famously, the Patriots came back not only to win it in overtime 34-28, but they cover in the process. And I just want to take this moment to shout out Brent, because Brent, who's going to the game today here, the game is in Las Vegas, and Brent has talked, I'm sure, about it today, about what an amazing moment this is for Las Vegas. The fact that, you know, within a decade ago, Tony Romo's fantasy event at the Hard Rock was just absolutely scuttled by the NFL, because God forbid we do something like that. But for those who were watching television earlier today, CBS ran an hour-long documentary called You Are Looking Live. And it was an hour-long retrospective on the NFL today when Brent famously hosted it. For so many of us of a certain age, it was everything to us. Everything. When I was a little kid, my mom would have to take me out of Hebrew school early. I would sprint to the TV. Every one of us had our own personal example of this, to get to the TV at 12:30 Eastern so you could sit there in front and watch Brent say, "You are looking live," going around from stadium to stadium. And it was a great documentary talking about the rise and fall of Jimmy the Greek, how it was innovative for sports betting, for betting on football to first reach the fore in actual mainstream television with Jimmy the Greek on the NFL Today. Irv Cross, the first African-American who broadcast nationally on the NFL, a former player, Jane Kennedy, the first African-American woman, preceded by Phyllis George, who was the first woman who was ever accepted talking about the NFL or sports in general. And that show was so groundbreaking. And I just want to take a moment, and thanks to Kirk Sports for that tweet, because it sort of triggers it in my head. Just personally, Brent and the Musburger family have meant so much to me, obviously, in the VSiN arc. But Brent, you know, Dan Patrick started to beat the drum on this earlier this week. And he has the kind of gravitas where he can write into the NFL Hall of Fame, because he's Dan Patrick, and say, Brent Musburger needs to be inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame. And I just want to continue with that here. And if anyone of any import is listening, that Brent needs to be in. And he is as integral to the sport and the rise of the NFL, not from just a gambling perspective, but from the sports history itself, and what it meant to any of us of a certain generation. And that's just a shout out to the great Brent Musburger, to the extent that I could even in any way do it justice. I understand it's very minimal, but he has meant that much to the sport of football, and by goodness, Dan Patrick was right on it with that this week.
Yeah, absolutely well said by you. I would not be here if it were not for Brent, that is for sure. I will always remember when I was, you know, about 24 years old, running into him in South Florida and asking him silly NBA playoff questions, and he sat there for 30 minutes and talked to me about it. Like, you know, it's just no... Brent is exactly who he appears on air. There is no ego like that at all that we get with some other people. Incredible guy. Incredible piece, like you said, man. It's awesome to see how far we've come.
And he is, by the way, the last person, and I mean this, I'm not just downplaying it. He's the last person that would want to take a bow for this kind of thing. He is, you know, even on the documentary today, he says, I didn't cry when they showed him a replica of the NFL Today studio from back in the day, and he sat on it. Sat there behind the desk, but he thought about it. And I think we've come to the point where Brent's not going to do it for himself. I hope that we all recognize what an amazing part of the history of the NFL he has been, in the same way that Dan Patrick talked about how he had to sort of promote the candidacy of John Facenda,
who
did all those NFL films. So I just wanted to point that out.
And real quick, I mean, for the city, like, this is, I don't know how we haven't really talked about this off air or, you know, we're on air, but like, this has been, I heard Mike Palm say it earlier on Follow the Money about, like, this should be in the rotation of once every 3 years.
It's kind of a pain a little bit for all of us that live here with all the traffic and all the people, but it has been incredible. I think the game's going to be great today. Like, this is a spot it should be at. I'm with Mike. Every 4 or 5 years, it should be at Vegas now.
Can you imagine if the game sucked today? Can you imagine if it was like 17-13?
Yeah, but if you came out here, at least you had a good time, hopefully, before Absolutely. It sucked.
Now, I'm sure Brent will be proud when we segue as inartfully as possible into Reba McEntire and Usher props. But if they are up anywhere still, and I don't know that they are, but if they are, would you like to hear the Usher answer key?
Well, and you could check again, right? Because Gatorade was down like for a long time at different books and then went back up like a day and a half later.
All right. So as we...
Yeah, what do you got?
As the 2 weeks of our show went on, because at first I said, well, you know, look, Usher starts his set lists with My Way when he does his shows here in Vegas, not the Frank Sinatra My Way, his My Way. And he did emphasize, Usher did, Kelly, that it would be a more R&B-focused show. But My Way, to me, wasn't a way to start the Super Bowl halftime. But as week two began this past week on the run-up to the Super Bowl, I sort of said, I think if you're reading the tea leaves on these odds, it's probably My Way. And so I have confirmation to let you know it's going to be My Way. My Way is going to be the first song. Yeah, which I thought might be the first song, is going to be the last song, if you can bet on that kind of thing.
I mean, that makes sense for, I guess, all the other people involved, right?
I don't, my way but is not like a, it's not a banger.
Right, I'm with you.
He will not perform anything new on the set. I know that prop was out there. Will he perform anything new? He will not. It will be Usher jams from the past.
Thank God, you're there for a reason.
And he will be performing with, among others, and I know there might be more, but I know he will be performing with Lil Jon. He will be performing with Ludacris, one of your favorites.
Yeah.
And as I said, I recommended it on a numbers game during the 2 weeks. When Alicia Keys was 4-1, I said, I know the head of Apple Music. He can pick up his phone and call Alicia Keys and says, I want you on the Super Bowl show. She will be on stage with Usher as well. Okay. So there you go. If you can still vote on it, cash those tickets.
Yeah, I just checked a couple of the usual spots for the books that post these things. They're all down. They're down right now.
Reba. The national anthem, we did a whole thing, Kelly and I did. Would you say it was like a 60 minutes level investigatory Reba McEntire segment?
Yeah, it was.
With the help of Adam Burke, who did such a great job on the website. Yeah. Here we are. Here it is, actually. Here are, you know, we logged all these different Reba McEntire national anthem performances through the years. Usually when the artist, you know, is announced, we don't really have much that, you know, much to go on. Not Reba. She's been singing this thing for 50 years. And she is double parked every time she's doing this. The woman has a plane to catch. Look at that. 112 was the first one we logged. 105 before game one of the 1985 World Series. Well, your instinct was right. In rehearsals, these are going over 90 seconds.
Yeah.
They're like 134, which is still in the annals of Super Bowl national anthem history. It's still a very quick anthem. But based on where they put the number, it's going to be an over.
So that was where our 60 minutes investigation took a turn, right? Because it was looking, we had all this information that you and Adam Burke put together. And like you said, she's been doing them forever. So you kind of know how long she's going to go. But then you start looking at what past performers have done and how much longer they've gone, where you're kind of like, all right, well, they probably have this blocked out for TV purposes and game time purposes. And they probably told Reba, yeah, go a little bit longer than stretch out that one note or two than you normally would.
I feel like I'm Mike Wallace. And you're morally safe.
Obviously.
You want to be Mike Wallace? I'll be morally fine. That's what that is all about. So book those, Usher and Reba, if, again, still available. Femi Abebefe, VSiN host and the host of the GM Shuffle podcast, along with Michael Lombardi. He will join us next. His thoughts on Super Bowl 58. Next, numbers game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We've gone 45 minutes into this show without mentioning this. Shame on us. There has never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Listen up to this. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you bet, up to $2,500. Let me repeat that. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you bet, up to $2,500. Do not wait. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSIN, though. Remember that. You got to use code VSIN when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you bet now. And you got plenty of time before kickoff to do it.
Yeah, look, I know a lot of our viewers, listeners take us in. They probably have DraftKings already. But for those of you who are regulars listening to VSIN, watching VSIN, this is the smartest move you could make today. Of all the bets that we talk about, getting in on this kind of promo, getting those kind of bonus bets, it's the smartest thing you could do today. You should not be sitting around not taking advantage of this if you don't have DraftKings
already. Bruh. I call you bro.
Yeah, of course. You can always call me bro, bruh.
If we were in a DraftKings jurisdiction, there is no chance I would not be doing this to the max. No chance. I mean, this is legit. From this is the one where Crack was on with us, and Crack is not easily impressed.
Right.
And he's like, oh my God, what is this? So
he was ready to run down to Arizona.
Promo code VSIN, though. Don't forget that part of it. This gentleman joins us to talk Super Bowl 58. He is a VSIN host, of course, and also hosts the GM Shuffle, Michael Lombardi's podcast, which he does with him. It's Femi Abebefe, everybody. How you doing, Femi?
Doing great. Doing great. I mean, to piggyback off what you guys are saying with that bonus, I mean, for those of you who like to bet the awards, who like to bet NBA, stuff like that, like, you got to take advantage of everything like that. But we're doing good, you know, a couple hours away from kickoff here, ready for this game. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now. I think I'm just ready to watch the game. I'm excited. I think it'll be a whole lot of fun.
All right. Before we get your thoughts on the game itself, I was just mentioning off air, awards night, February 8th, Thursday night, the first text I got was, oh my God, Femi destroyed this. What kind of awards night did you have? Describe to us.
Oh my gosh. It was a phenomenal night. Now, going into it, I figured that, all right, I feel good about Defensive Player of the Year. I thought that was going to go to Myles Garrett. Defensive Rookie of the Year, a little murky, but I felt that Will Anderson might be able to win it just because Jalen Carter had kind of fallen off in the last half of the season. So I felt good about those two. But I sort of conceded Coach of the Year. I was big on Stefanski in the final month of the season. I thought that D'Amico Ryans in that late push, I thought he was going to go ahead and win that. I thought Hamlin was going to win Comeback Player of the Year. I think a lot of people thought that was the case based on some of what the voters were saying after they cast their ballots. And here we are sitting watching the awards show, and it comes up, boom, Stefanski. I'm going absolutely insane. I'm screaming. I'm yelling expletives that I can't say on these airwaves right now. I just fired up for Kevin Stefanski. It was a massive, massive win for me. And I thought to myself, I was like, if we could just ever get Flacco, I mean, that would be insane. And then, of course, about a half hour later, Joe Flacco wins Comeback Player of the Year. So it was a phenomenal night. A night that I will remember, honestly, for quite some time. And I think in terms of just like the takeaways from the awards season, though, is that a lot of it comes down to recency bias. You know, it's like we bet this stuff and we're in it like every single week with it if you bet into the awards markets. But a lot of these voters kind of think about things in the last like quarter of the season. So recency bias kind of came home for a lot of the awards. And that's what you see Will Anderson come from behind and steal it from Jalen Carter. You saw Joe Flacco, who week 12 wasn't on an NFL team, and all of a sudden he wins Comeback Player of the Year. So I think that's probably the big takeaway for me, but a phenomenal night, a phenomenal awards betting season. Can't say enough how great it was, honestly.
Man, good for you. I can just picture you having a child one day and someone's like, this is the most beautiful night of your life. And you're like, all but one. There was a night, February 8th, 2024. Let me tell you about it.
I told my fiance, I was like, we're just going to name whatever our child is. It's going to be named Stefanski. Whether it's a boy or a girl, the child will be named Stefanski. So
Joe Flacco Abebefe.
Right, yeah.
All right, I'm trying to ignore that Cowboys thing on your couch behind us, Femi, so I'm just trying to like focus on you. By the way, how did you get afflicted by that disease? Was it by birth?
I was born down there. Oh, I was born down in Dallas. Okay. And like, so like the early part of my life, so like my brother, my dad, they're all Cowboys fans.
Okay.
My uncles are Cowboys fans. So I couldn't pick any other team. So that was unfortunately the curse that they put down on me here is we've gone through another January of frustration for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, cry me a river. Listen, here's the thing. I will just say this. The only thing worse this week, just is all anecdotal, of course. First of all, a lot more Niners jerseys in town than Chiefs, feels like. You agree with that? Yes? No?
Okay. I would have said for sure I agree with you on, like, Friday.
Oh, Strip is way more Niners.
Yeah, I think that's why. But, like, downtown and stuff, I've seen a lot of Chiefs jerseys.
But the worst is the Raiders. Like, so a Raiders fan will like, cross either a Niners or a Chiefs and be like, Raiders, and you're like, shut up.
Oh, God. I love this.
You have not won a Super Bowl in 40 years, and of all, like, these two franchises just, like, own you in the Bay and then they owe you division wise. Like, shut up.
I've never understood the suit. It's the Super Bowl. I'm going to wear the jersey for my team, even though we're not in it, just to do that. Raider. You go talk crap at the teams that are actually in it.
Anyway, Femi, Super Bowl 58, Femi, what do you got? Where did you land on this?
I landed on the Kansas City Chiefs, and I was doing Live Bet Sunday with Kelly a couple weeks ago, and right after the Chiefs beat the Baltimore Ravens, which I laid 3 with the Ravens, I laid 2.5 with Buffalo. Luckily, I laid 4 with Kansas City against Miami, but I just said to myself, I'm not letting Mahomes take my money from me. I'm not letting him do it in the biggest game of the year, and maybe the Niners win this game. They are favored. I agree with the market right now with the Niners being the favorites, but you look at this game, and I hate to kind of boil it down to the simplification of better quarterback, better coach, better defense, all being on Kansas City. But that's kind of what I look at when I break these two teams down. And I get the Niners' numbers. And in terms of their overall offense, it is much better than the Kansas City Chiefs. But I think the weakest unit on the field when you break the game down has to be the 49ers defense. And maybe Steve Wilks is about to coordinate the best game of his life, and we're going to see the Niners defense, what we saw similar to years past. But I have such a problem with the Niners run defense. Pacheco, I think, should have a really big game. And if they can't stop the run, in addition to what Mahomes can do with his greatness and Kelsey and all those guys, I just think it's going to be a tough time for the 49ers winning this game, or at least gaining control of this game. I feel like the Chiefs will be in control for much of the football game. So to me, at the plus money price, I'm going down swinging with the best quarterback in the world, and that's Patrick Mahomes. So I took plus 115 on the money line with Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. As someone who has the Niners, I think you're right that the Niners defense is by far the most significant unit on the field, right? If they revert to what they were during the regular season, this might be an entirely different thing. But yeah, if we're getting the Chase Young lollygagging version, then you're probably right in the end.
Yeah, no, I mean, Chase Young, he's going to want to burn the tape of the NFC title game, honestly. Don't show that to anybody as he heads into free agency this upcoming March. I mean, my goodness, what was he doing on some of those plays there? But yeah, to me, it's weird because when you look at the game, if you take the 18-week regular season sample size, it leads you to the 49ers, and it should. Like, the Niners were the number one power-rated team all throughout the season. All the odds makers would tell you, yeah, they're about 4 or 5 points clear of any single team in the NFL. Like that's how we were talking about the Niners 6-7 weeks ago. But if you just parachuted in and watched just the NFL playoffs this year, you would think that the wrong team is favored. And we've even heard Billy Walters, of all people, the greatest sports bettor that we all know, he said that the wrong team is favored. He thinks that the Chiefs should be 2-point favorites. So it's interesting. Just like, what do you value more? Is it the 18-week regular season, or is it the 4-week playoff stretch here where Kansas City, in my opinion, just from watching the games, has been the better team in January?
Small bet for Billy, by the way, Femi. Just a half a mil. Small. What's your favorite prop bet that you landed on, that you have?
My favorite prop, I wrote about it on the Super Bowl betting guide. For me, this is Mahomes over completions. I do like Pacheco to go over his rushing yards as well, just with the Niners run defense and everything. But I do think that the Chiefs are going to try to use a short, efficient passing game as an extension of the run game, because the Niners know that they're weak against the run. They're going to devise some schemes, try to load up the box to prevent Pacheco from running the ball down their throats. So I do believe Kansas City is going to try to throw the ball early to go ahead and establish a lead in this game and maybe gain control that way. So Mahomes over 25.5 completions. You can find it at some even money there. Right now at DraftKings is -105, but shop around as always, like we say here on VSiN. There's some even money out there for Mahomes. But I just think that the short passing game, because this is not an explosive offense for Kansas City. This is Kelsey. It's going to Rice. It's going to Gray. Like, it's very kind of efficient. And I think using that short passing game as an extension of the run game is going to allow them to kind of control the clock and control this game and keep their defense off the field of having to stop that 49ers offense. So I believe that Mahomes will be able to kind of pick apart the zone defense of the 49ers and use more of an efficient passing game to go over 25.5 completions.
Only have 30 seconds left, Femi. Did you take any long shot prop, anything in big plus money by any chance?
I played some Kelsey 20-1 to win MVP.
Oh,
the bird has landed. Taylor Swift is in the building. She made it back from Japan. So we're going to go ahead and carry this narrative. And I think if Kelsey actually has a game similar to what he had in the AFC title game, I think he's got a real chance to win MVP. So if he gets 11 catches, 100 yards and a touchdown, Travis Kelsey, what better way to put a bow on this NFL story than having Travis Kelsey be the Super Bowl MVP to kind of put the cherry on top of what is a Hall of Fame career?
Femi, enjoy the game. Good luck with all your bets, man. Appreciate it.
You guys as well. Good luck.
Femi Abebefe, VSiN host, kind enough to join us on his Super Bowl Sunday. By the way, you know, we almost went an hour without mentioning Taylor Swift. I did Captain Jack's Super Stream, which he does annually on Saturday nights. and you know, you're waiting for the people in front of you. Everybody's obsessed with like Alex Kane from Sport Trade, young lady Sarah who worked at Deck Prism, unabashedly like talking about all their Taylor Swift love and all the props they bet. We're kind of missed the boat on that a little bit. I mean, we know she's big, but I don't think we had the idea that everybody was unabashedly betting all.
I didn't know they were either.
Our bets next.